part of that next Sunday morning and then other events that are coming up. Look, if you would, at Psalm 100 today. Psalm 100, a short psalm, but one I think will be fitting for the day. We are not taking a certain section of psalms as we study through them. You have the Psalms of Ascent that are kind of grouped together. There's actually several books of psalms within the Psalters that are grouped by theme or subject matter and by what they emphasize. And so we're not really taking a section of psalms, but we've hit a few different ones throughout the book. And so Psalm 100, I think, will be fitting today as we think about the faithfulness of God in our church, 61 years of a church family and body here in our community. Psalm 100, your Bible may have a couple different titles over it. Often there's a topical title that'll be written in normal kind of print. Mine, for instance, says, Serve with Gladness. That's the theme of the psalm. Then usually, most Bibles, in italics, either right before the first verse or right after the first verse begins, will have a title that was given to the psalm, not by us as we compiled and printed the Bible, but that's a title that goes with the actual psalm itself. And today, that's a significant title. We'll talk about it in a minute. I'm going to read that title, and then we'll walk our way through these five verses of Psalm 100. It says, a psalm of praise. That's the Hebrew word, literally, for thanksgiving. A psalm of praise and thanksgiving. Verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Are you thankful for that this morning? As we look at this psalm of praise and thanksgiving, we'll notice in a few minutes, not the typical, like we would think. Let's think about thanksgiving toward the Lord. And often we give a list of blessings, a list of ways that God has worked in our lives. But you notice this psalm teaches us about thanksgiving that it's not just a list of things we think about. It is a way that we live our lives. And so this morning, as we reflect on how we can praise and be thankful toward the Lord, we want Him to teach us how we should live our lives because of He is good, He is merciful, and His truth endures to every generation. Would you pray with me over this passage of Scripture and just ask the Lord to teach in your heart today? Then we'll sing one more song gathered together as a group and then have a special. We'll come back and look at Psalm 100. Lord, as we have read your psalm that is written, it is words that help our hearts speak back to you. And in this particular psalm is a commission. It's a calling, a summons to our lives to be grateful and thankful, praise-filled people. And that is far more than what we say. It is how we live. So Lord, would you help us this morning to come before your presence with singing, to gather, to make a joyful noise, not just with song, but as we declare you as our Savior, as we live our lives and we seek to know you, that you are God alone in our lives, that you have made us your people, and that you are our shepherd. We are the sheep of your pasture. That's our prayer for our church. We want to be a church that declares the glory of God, and we want to know you in a sincere and better way. So would you teach us today from your word and encourage the hearts and minds of those that are here. Be with our church family that can't be gathered with us today. We pray that you'd bless them as they're wrapping up summer travels and some that aren't feeling well. Lord, our whole church family. There are many people that have represented and been the people of Landmark Baptist Church over these 61 years. We pray that right now those that you have called to be this church family in this moment, that you would encourage us all by your word today, no matter where we are, how we listen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand one final time. We'll sing together.
And blessed endurance, Jesus.
Psalm 100, again, if you would, with me, and find your place there. We're going to mainly be in these five verses this morning as we think about and reflect on God's goodness in our lives. I hope that you plan to come be a part of lunch right after the morning service today down in the gym. Most of our people have brought something that they've prepared, kind of a tropical or Hawaiian dish or something that they have at least come up with a creative title to make it sound tropical, even if it may not be. That's okay. That's good. We're glad that you're here today, and I hope that you'll come be a part of lunch right afterwards with us. And at lunch, I hope that you'll reflect, if you have some history here, whether it's just for a few weeks or a few months or been here the last couple of years. Many of you have come over the last 3 or 4 years, and then some of you have been here much longer than that. And so regardless of how long you've been here, I hope that you'll sit at lunch and reflect on memories, good memories from throughout the years of people and of God's work here in your life. But beyond just what he's done in our church, the church is people. We emphasize that. And so not just memories of events and things that happen within a building, but if you are here and you're part of our church family and God has worked in your life, you're a child of God, I hope we'll sit around the table today and reflect on what God has done in our lives. Because his work in the church is his work in people. And so whatever God has done in you and is doing in you and through you, I hope you'll share that, share memories of that today as we think about it and kind of look back for a little while. With the end of lunch, we'll have a short little kind of hymn sing. We'll sing 6 or 7, I think it is, of our kind of some of the older hymns that maybe you haven't heard in a little while. We'll sing some of those to end the day. It'll be a good time. But for the next few minutes, I would like the opportunity, if you would, to look at Psalm 100, and I think that it is a fitting psalm for the day, not just to look back in thanksgiving, but to look forward. How can we live lives of praise and thanksgiving? There are 150 psalms that are compiled into the Psalter of Scripture. Out of that 150 psalms, there's 116 of them that are titled, like I mentioned a moment ago, that are titled in the canon of Scripture. Now, we don't know exactly when and where what was put on those titles, but we trust that those titles were put there by God and through His Word, His inspiration for us to help us with our understanding of the Psalms. Out of that 150, out of those 116 that are titled, 73 of the titles carry the name of David in them. In fact, within those titles that carry David's name, 13 of them carry a certain circumstance or experience in David's life. For instance, one of the Psalms is a Psalm of David when he was in the cave, the Psalm of David when he sinned, and it listed out, it gives us the circumstance of God's life. 55 of the Psalms are titled to the chief musician, which is kind of like the choir master. That means that it was probably a psalm that was written, it was to give over and to be sung in the temple worship of the time. 12 of them are written by a man named Asaph, who David chose to sort of lead the worship in the temple during his time and his descendants. Many of them are titled by their theme. Some of them are titled by their topic. But out of all the Psalms that we read, though, only Psalm 100 has this exact title. And that's interesting. Only Psalm 100 is titled in this way, a Psalm of Praise. And the word I mentioned a moment ago, the Hebrew word, is most often translated. In fact, almost every time it's used in Scripture, it's translated as thanks or thanksgiving. A psalm of thanks and thanksgiving. And there's a lot of psalms that express thanks. Just a few pages over, Psalm 103 recounts all of the blessings of God. And we think about all that He's done in our life. Many of the psalms express thanks. This is the only one that declares it as the purpose of the psalm, a psalm of thanks and praise. We're finishing looking our summer by looking at a few of the different psalms. I think it's fitting on Anniversary Sunday to study the Psalm of Thanksgiving. A local church is a living, breathing part of the body of Christ. In the New Testament, God calls the church as a whole, calls it His body, it calls us His building, it calls us a family, it calls us His people, that we are His children, we are His bride. And there's been a lot of local churches. We know that our world is a big world, and there's a lot of people. So we don't all, just every Christian around the world, come and gather each week to celebrate our risen Savior. We gather in small groups. We carry out God's purpose as small, local, individual churches around the world. It's been happening that way literally since Christ established His church there in the Gospels and in Acts, as we see it begin to grow. And there have been thousands and millions probably of different local bodies and groups throughout that 2,000 years. And isn't it interesting that for the last 61 years of history, God has allowed Christians in this area to come and be a part of a local church and part of a church family in this community. People have come and they've gone. People have come and passed away. People have come and God's moved our lives in different places. There's literally people that have been part of this church that live now across the country and even in other places of the world. And it's interesting, if we were able to thread together all of God's work in our lives through those years, I hope that our theme, if we were able to just all sit and have a discussion, anyone that's still alive that's ever been a part of this church body, I hope that we would, the overwhelming theme at the end of our conversation would be one of, wow, isn't God so powerful? Isn't God so good to us? Isn't God so merciful? Hasn't He worked in so many people in certain times, in certain places in our lives, and yet He brought people to this area and to this church for a certain reason in their lives at that moment, that the church is people. And we would praise the Lord and we would give thanks to God. And it's interesting, over 61 years, our world has changed, our society has changed, the culture has changed, and not just things around the church have changed, even within the church, things have changed. We're not in the same building that we first started in. We're kind of in a different location. We weren't there long. We mostly have been here on Creighton Road, but Creighton Road has even changed. Some of you have been around long enough to remember. It's a two-lane road and kind of just some farm fields, and it's begun to change. The area has changed. Our buildings have changed as we try to update and keep things good. We got a parking lot the last couple of weeks. Things change over time. There's people that change even in that. Not just the people, which people are here in the moment, but we have some people that have been here for a good bulk. We have people that have been here more than 50 years of our existence. And I tread carefully. If you've been here 50 years, you've changed almost certainly in that 50 years. Things have changed in 61 years. But here's a great thing that I can tell you as we begin to study Psalm 100, that in the 61 years, everything that has changed, we can rejoice this morning and sing and open God's Word, knowing that in the last 61 years, and really for all the years of human history and time as we know it, God has never changed. God does not change. He is unchangeable. He is not affected by the things in our world, in our culture, and society. He doesn't deteriorate. He doesn't decay. God does not change. And so our psalm of praise and thanks this morning is not based in a church building or even a church people. The song of praise and what we see and what we've experienced and what we know, the psalm of praise is based first in the Lord Himself. The subject here of thanksgiving is not just God's works, but God Himself. I hope that you'll sit down this afternoon, I mentioned a moment ago, and discuss some of the specific instances and blessings, but that's not the subject of Psalm 100. The writer doesn't walk through and say, well, this is how God blessed me, and this is what I can name in my life, and this is something that God did, or this is something that I have and hold tangibly that God blessed me with. Though those are all things we can be thankful and praise the Lord for, the psalmist in Psalm 100 says, God is the subject of praise and thanksgiving, not just for what He has done, but for who He is. Notice, he roots it all in that last verse. It says, for, because, the because of our praise is because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Notice those three things: His goodness, His mercy, and His truth. Hey, if you've been a part of Landmark Baptist Church for 6 weeks or for 61 years, whatever it may have been, we can all confidently praise the fact that God is good, that His mercy endures, and we can praise God for His truth. And notice it says, to all generations. When we established this church 61 years ago, it wasn't, well, God is good right now, and as long as He stays good, we're going to keep being a church. No, there's no doubt in that. Well, here's God's truth for 1964, but in 2025, we may have to reassess things a little bit. No, it's not. That's not the case. His truth is good. No matter how many generations come through Landmark Baptist Church, His truth is what we praise Him for. It endures to every generation. Has there been hardship? Yes. Do things go perfect? Not just within the church as a group, but in our individual lives? Are things always perfect because you're a Christian or because you're part of Landmark Baptist Church? Is that why we praise the Lord? Because once we are saved, once we sign up to be a child of God, He just takes care of everything for us? No, that's not the case either. We know that there's hardship. We know that there's trouble. But has God been good every single day of the last 61 years? Absolutely. We can all be reminded this morning that God is so good to us. We know, as you see, it says His goodness in verse 5, but we all first experience God's goodness in His mercy. The word mercy there is hesed. It literally means the steadfast, loving kindness of God. And if you sit here this morning and you praise God for His goodness, and you sit here and you're a child of God, saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, His sacrifice for you and His resurrection to eternal life, you have experienced the mercy of God Almighty. You didn't earn that. We don't deserve it. He didn't give us what we deserve because of our sin. He gives us what Christ deserved, what He stood in our place. And so as long as we are receivers of God's mercy, we should be givers of thanks. His mercy is everlasting. It's not limited to 61 years. It never runs out. It's always been there. Millions of people have been saved by God's mercy. His mercy endures. And we can still preach the mercy of God 61 years later. I can stand and preach the same subject, that God loves the people that He has created and He desires to save them from their sins. And I can preach God's mercy because it has not run out yet. And it never will run out. So the message can remain the same, that God is good, that His mercy endures, that His truth is good. And you can align yourself with the Word, and the order of your life can structure itself to the Word of God with full trust in its capability to leave us. And that does not change over these years. We can be thankful for His truth, no matter who the pastor is. The church has had different pastors. No matter who the pastor is, no matter who stands behind the pulpit each Sunday, we want to be people that prioritize God's truth, not just on Sundays. We want to lift high the Word of God. And whoever stands here, I hope that for as long as Landmark Baptist Church chooses, and as long as we exist in some form or capacity as a local church and as God's family, no matter who is here, I hope that as a people, you always hold them accountable, that they open their Bible and that they preach from God's Word, because it's the only thing that changes and directs our lives with any sort of perfection. It is good for us. We should praise God for His truth. But not just on Sunday should it be lifted and said, oh, we trust God's Word. On Monday, we should be a people that prioritizes God's Word too. On Tuesday, we should live our lives according to what God has said. Not come on Sunday for it to make us feel a different way and think a little different than we did the rest of the week. But it structures and orders our lives. And so when we think about this psalm of praise and thanksgiving, it is rooted in this. We can be thankful, grateful, praise-filled people this morning because God is good. Because His mercy endures. Because His truth is good for you and for your children and for your children's children. And you can trust His truth. Everything around us changes. But God has put something in our hands that will forever be true. We don't have to search for it. We already have it. So there's a lot of things that we can thank God for over 61 years, but I think we should start our day of thanksgiving for God's goodness, His mercy, and His truth. We are a church because God is good. We are God's people because He is merciful, and we can live in this world in the way that God designs and wants us to, and we can find purpose because of His truth. I know we kind of started here at the end in verse 5, and some of you are thinking, man, I like anniversary Sunday. I like this kind of sermon. Like, you just go right to the last verse, tell us what it is, and then we go home or we go to lunch or whatever it may be. I'm not quite ready to wrap things up yet. We use verse 5 kind of as an introduction. And I start with the final verse because it gives us the subject of thanksgiving. But the first four verses give us the summons of thanksgiving. The last verse tells us why we can be thankful, why we can praise God here on an anniversary Sunday or any Sunday. The last verse gives us the subject. It's because of God's goodness, His mercy, His truth. But the first four verses give us the summons or the call. Here's how you live because of God's mercy, His goodness, and His truth. I mentioned a moment ago, it's interesting. You read Psalm 100 and you think it's a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. What's it going to list? Is it going to talk about the things that God gives, the health that God gives? Is it going to talk about the experience of our lives and how God turns bad things to good and how that God is faithful and all those things? And it will talk about that. We can find that in Scripture, but isn't it interesting? The only psalm titled A Psalm of Thanksgiving speaks very little of any list of blessings to be thankful for because it goes beyond a words of thankfulness and it moves into a life of thankfulness. That's what Psalm 100 calls us toward. It looks not back, but forward. And we can look back at God's work in us as a church family, and I hope that we share those memories throughout the day. But here, the psalm of praise does not just turn around and face the other direction and say, I'm thankful for what God has done, but rather it faces forward and says, this is what I will be because of who God is. And I want us to think on that this morning as it looks forward. That a life of thanksgiving is not only what we think about what has happened, but how we live moving forward. We see that because of, notice all the imperatives in the first four verses. In my Bible, I have them circled. I have kind of the imperative verbs, the command or the call verbs circled in a certain color to make them stand out. But he says to make, serve, come, know, enter, be thankful, bless his name. Thanksgiving is not just about what we say, it's about how we live. And so this call on Psalm 100, and notice you say, well, who's supposed to live like this? Look at verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And then look at the last verse. His truth endure to all generations. Everyone on earth, all generations, should look to God and live this way. It's not just 1964 landmark should live that way. It's 2025 landmark. It's 2064. If we make it to 100 years, if you call yourself a Christian, this is a call on your life this morning. So what have we been and what are we right now? And what do we desire to be as God's people in the future for His glory? And here's what I want us to do for a couple minutes. I want us to look at this list of verses 1 through 4. And I want us to just look at it and just say, these must be the priority. Because God is good, because His mercy is everlasting, because His truth endures for every generation, because of these things in verse 5, this is what my life should look like. This is what Landmark Baptist Church as a whole, and not just when we're within the walls, but we as God's people in our workplaces and in our homes and in our relationships and in our marriages and in our friendships and in our private lives, this is what we should prioritize. Not to get something from God, but because God is so good to us. And I want you to look at the list as He gives them to us. I kind of classified it in three terms. Worship, know, and thank. And that should be the priority of our church services, but it should be the priority of our church people. We want to worship God. We want to know God. And ultimately, when we do those two things, we will become thankful people. Notice if you would, the first one. It says in verses 1 and 2, it tells us we are to be a worshipful people. And I think that we often associate the word worship primarily as singing. And because we do that, we often limit worship. That worship happens in a certain place, at a certain time, in a certain way, doing certain things. But the Bible is like really clear about this. I picked out just a few verses to read to you. When the Bible describes worship, it actually describes other things more than it ever associates worship with singing. Worship is how you live your life. Notice, I'm going to give you a few of these, and you can jot them down, and I'll just read them to you. But here's the reference, Psalm 29:1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Giving glory to God. Focusing on the holiness of God, that's worship. John 4, 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, listen to this, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's how we worship, is how we live, how we carry ourselves, what we do with our bodies, what we think with our minds. Psalm 95, 6, oh come, let us worship. Well, how do we worship? Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Our worship is not just our singing, but it is our actions, it's our attitude, it's my mind, it's my posture, it's a spirit of humility before the Lord. I worship God by recognizing who I am and recognizing who He is and aligning those two things together and living my life accordingly. And you see that in the first couple verses of Psalm 100. Notice, Psalm 100 is this call to worship, and these first two verses tell us what worship looks like in our lives. I think it gives kind of three things in these first two verses. He says, make a joyful noise, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. That first phrase, make a joyful noise, it's actually just one Hebrew word. It's actually only three letters of a Hebrew word. Here's the word, it's ruah. It's kind of one of those words that sounds, you get around the, and I can't do it because I've never been in the armed forces. You get around certain guys in the armed forces and you just say you're from a certain branch, and it's kind of a word, but it's more of a sound than anything else that just kind of gets uttered, right? Just, it has so much meaning in it. And that word here is very similar. It's ruah. And it's not talking about singing. In fact, of all the places that this word is ever in Scripture, it never really refers to any singing being done. Actually, the definition means to blow an alarm, to blast, to cry out, literally and figuratively, to split the ears, and particularly over something joyful. It's this, it's an alarm of praise. Your alarm goes off in your house. Usually it's more annoying than anything else. It's supposed to alert you. Maybe you left something undone. And it signals in your heart, when that alarm goes off, there's a little bit of fear, there's a little bit of annoyance, or whatever emotion you feel in that moment. But here he says, shout, sing out, your life should make a noise. And I don't think it's just talking about the verbal noise of our lives. He's not just saying just randomly in the middle of the day, just blah, just let something out. No, he's saying make a joyful noise, sound the alarm of God's goodness. Now that may be sitting in a church service that you may feel a little uncomfortable at times doing, because there may be someone with great posterity sitting around you. But when God moves you in your soul, you can just holler out, praise His holy name. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lord. That's fine. That's good. And that's encouraged. We should do that. But it's beyond that. It says God stirs and works in our lives, that our lives sound an alert to ourselves and to the world around us, that God is good. Your life should make noise for Jesus. And not in some belligerent way, and not in some way that is mean and hurtful and spiteful to others. But God doesn't call any of us to be secret Christians. I think sometimes, yes, we should have a demeanor of humility. Yes, we should have a demeanor of humbleness. We should live quietly in an order and focus on our business in this world. Yes, but God does also call us to make noise for Jesus with our lives. Make a joyful noise. God is not worthy to be kept secret. He is worthy to be lauded with glory and praise. When someone makes noise, it draws attention. And we want to draw attention to the right things. What does your life draw attention to this morning? We worship God by displaying and sounding the alarm of His greatness to everyone around us. We want God to be praised around the world, but it begins in our lives. So we ask you this morning, where is your joyful noise? What has muted us in the way that we live? Do the people around us know just how good and merciful and true God is? And just how much we love Him? Or has something distracted us from making a joyful noise, from the ruah of our lives? But rather, we're so focused on everything around us, the stress and strains of our day, the ridicule of people. You know, why are you living like that? You ever walked into a setting? I was at a family funeral Thursday night, and you know, there's some settings that you just feel like this is probably not the appropriate time to discuss this or act in that way. And there's a couple things that happened in the corners of the room that I just kind of thought, well, you know, fantasy football is probably not the greatest conversation in the corner of the viewing, but it wasn't me talking about it. It was someone else talking about it. And you ever had those conversations and then someone that's deeply affected or mournful, or somebody's in that moment and they sense it and feel it, and they walk up and you just feel out of place. Your joy kind of feels out of place. And so you kind of keep it quiet for a minute. Now that's good and that's respectful. That's a good thing in those circumstances. But sometimes I think we live in the world around us that screams to us, things are not right. Things are unjust. This person doesn't like this person. You will never have enough. You're not good enough. Things are not working well enough. The world around us cries out that it is not enough. And sometimes we live our lives as though we've walked into a funeral or a serious situation. We have eternal joy of God in our hearts. We have eternity promised to us. We have an ultimate good and wonderful end. And yet we live in this world like, well, I don't want to really talk about that. I don't know if I want to really live that way because it might come off the wrong way to someone. Make a joyful noise. Notice, serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible is clear that true worship always includes service, and that service is obedience. The word here is the word for bond service. It is to be compelled to performance. It includes submission to the one being served. It is to be, the wording here would really have stood out if you can read it originally. It literally is be enslaved with gladness. Now that is not two words that we normally associate, is it? To be enslaved with joy, how could that be possible when your master is perfect and good and holy and righteous and he has redeemed you? He is the motive and the object of our worship. We serve the Lord with gladness, not out of hassle, not out of begrudging duty. God is not a list of boxes for us to check off on a weekly basis. He is the priority and purpose of our lives, not auxiliary, not an accessory. He's not something that we just do socially. Serving the Lord is why we were created. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's not feigned or fake gladness. But as you serve the Lord, He brings gladness. He brings satisfaction. How do you know if your service is worshipful? Does it lead to God-given gladness? Notice then this phrase, come before His presence with singing. You say, well, finally, I knew worship was about singing. Well, yes, it does involve some singing, but don't skip to that last word without seeing the first part of the phrase. Come before His presence. It doesn't say worship the Lord with singing. It says worship the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Let your life declare, make noise for Jesus. Serve Him with gladness. And keep coming into His presence. This is a psalm that would have been sung at the temple as people headed in to offer atoning sacrifice and receive forgiveness of their sins. It's an invitation to know and serve the Lord. We now have that in Jesus Christ, that His presence is always with us. Come into His presence. Be mindful of the presence of the Lord in our lives. The psalm was written, I mentioned, in temple worship, but now the place of God's presence is in the life of the believer. Not when you walk into a church building on Sunday morning. Come before God's presence daily. Sit quiet with Him for a while. Sometimes we're distracted from the presence of God because we allow the presence of everything else. We get up in the morning and we immediately check what we think we somehow sustain in this world. You get up in the morning and it's like we turn on Fox News or CNN or whatever it is that you turn on, the local news, you listen to the radio, you read the article on your phone, as if you've got to fix everything that happened bad in the world in the last 4 to 12 hours, however long you sleep each night.
Somehow it relies on me. No, it relies on God. So which one should I spend time with? We get so focused on work and what we produce and what we do. Sometimes we work so much so that we can have the time to relax. And here's the problem is we use both of those things for ourselves and not time in the conscious presence of the Lord. You're going to spend eternity with God. And that starts now. Come before His presence. And sometimes we come on a Sunday morning and we want the presence of God here in our lives. But I'm going to challenge you, church. Sometimes one of the reasons we struggle, I think, to sometimes sense the presence of God in our gathering as a church body. Let's be honest. There are days, there are moments where we come and we gather and we sing with gladness and we sing to God be the glory. But it's a little muffled. We come and we think about our work and we think about our week and we're just here for whatever reason and we don't sense the Spirit of God. Now, God's Spirit is here. It's in us. It's with us. He is omnipresent. His Holy Spirit is always present in and through believers. But one of the reasons I think we struggle to sense the Spirit of God in our gathering is because we don't prioritize the Spirit of God in our daily lives. He's not something that you can muster up like a genie in a bottle on Sunday mornings and poof, praying. Boy, that was energetic, glad, praise-filled service this week. If Monday through Saturday, I spent no time with Him. Come into His presence. How do you know you're coming to His presence? Because it will stir in your heart singing. Now, I am glad that worship is not only singing and music. Because if that were the case, some of us would be in trouble. We would struggle to worship. Because not all of us are great singers. And our noise does not sound joyful. Some of us can't play an instrument. Some of us don't have that ability or talent. But notice, this is, when you come consistently for God's presence, different than any other creature in this world, it invokes praise and worship and singing. But I want you to notice this. It says worship, and that should be the priority of our church. 61 years as we've been established, we should be a worshipful people. But notice the second thing, know. Worship God, but also to know Him. And notice that this commission is right in the heart of the psalm, right in verse 3, at the dead center. Worship God. I think we all get on board with that. And then he says, and know Him. Now, wait a second. Why would he put that in the middle? It's a very specific word that's beyond the intellectual concept. The word for know here is to know by experience, to ascertain, to understand. It is literally to experience and then confirm for yourself. You should know and be seeking to know that the Lord is God. And why is this right here in the middle of the psalm? Because you don't get anything else in this psalm without this. You don't get the rest of Psalm 100 without the knowing. Worship that is not mindful becomes mechanical and therefore is not pleasing to God. I'll say it again. If you try to worship God in a way that is not mindful, you're not thinking and you're not knowing Him, it becomes mechanical, and then it is empty, and it is vain, and it's useless to God, yes, but it's also useless in your own life. You can come worship, sing all the songs, listen to all the sermons you want to, but unless God is on your heart and your mind, and you're growing and walking with Him, those things are not useful in your life. We think that they're the fix, when in actuality it's God. Notice what we'll find when we know God. Know that He is Know ye that the Lord, and then notice it says some things about Him. Know that He is God. It's two words for God there. The Lord, Yahweh, that's His personal name. It's literally, you know, Yahweh is Elohim. Elohim's a broader title. It's the title for God. It's the magistrate, the authority, rather, that He is the judge over all. And here's what He's saying. Know that your God, the one that you know, He is the real God. How do you know He's the real God? Notice, He is the one that has made us. He is our maker in creation. But this phrase seems to indicate that He's the maker of His people. Notice, He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Then attached to that, we are His people. Church, we didn't make this church. No person decided. I know that we formed and we function. We have a constitution and bylaws and we gather. And there's certain things that we associate with. And there's a covenant and we gather. But we're not the ones that make the church. God is the maker of His people. He made us. We are God's people and God's people are made so by Him. He redeemed us. He saved us. He gathers us. Isn't it amazing how much, I'll just be frank, in American modern church culture, how much of church becomes about us? About who we are as a people and who we identify and how we associate and what we say and order in a certain way. We make it about us. We make church about our thoughts and our lives, our priorities, our opinions, our schedules, our problems, our preferences. When He is the one that makes His people, He makes us His, but He also makes us belong to one another. And sometimes we prioritize self over His body. We prioritize ourselves over His people when He has made us so. Here's the thing. When God's people stop looking to Him, they stop looking like Him. And when you read in verse number 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God," sometimes we may struggle to look like God's people that we see in verse 1 and 2 because we do not know God like we should in verse number 3. When God's people stop looking to Him, they stop looking like Him. Because notice that double emphasis. He has made us. And then he goes further. And not we ourselves. You can't order your life to be all that it should be. You trust Him. Notice what He is to us. He is our God. He's our maker. Notice this, though. He is our shepherd. How will Landmark Baptist Church, how will we individually move forward in this life as we seek to be a people of praise and thanksgiving? How will we keep our path? How will we be effective? How will we glorify God in our culture, in our world, in our society? Is it by having the right pastor or having the right leaders or keeping our building in a certain way, establishing a certain program? And there's certain things that we want to do. And there's even things over the next year or two I kind of have a vision for. And I think that God wants us to do to live out and encourage one another and be a light to the community. And all those things are good. But that is not what will guide us and keep us straight. He is our shepherd. Notice, we are His people. And we are the sheep of His pasture. Only way that we remain effective, the only way that we remain a people, the only way that we 61 years from now, there's a good chance that most of the people in this room, maybe a few of our young people that just moved up recently, but there's a good chance in 61 years, most of us will not be here. And that's a daunting, sobering thing, isn't it? But let's not be careless with what we are as a people and as a church. If we want to establish, hey, 61 years from now, we want Landmark to be a place that is full of worship and knowing God and being a thankful people, how is that ever going to happen? It's not by getting things the way we think they should be or by ordering things or having a separate. It is by following the Lord, our shepherd, our guide, and our maker. Then notice this. He made us, but He also maintains us. He guides us. Then notice this, the third thing. There, oh, I skipped it for you. Notice number 3, thank. We should worship Him. We should know Him. And then in turn, we should thank Him. It's easier to be a thankful people when our eyes are on the right thing. You've been to, some of you, you've been to good places. Some of you have traveled this year and you've gone and seen, I know we have some people the last couple years, you've gone out and seen some of the national parks and when I've heard some of the national parks out west, they can get a little busy at times, right? Somebody shared with me some pictures, and it was a hike that was going up to kind of one of the main, I think it was El Capitan out west or somewhere, and it was showing you know, the beauty, the grandeur, the splendor of the moment, and the beautiful picture of nature, but it also showed like the trash and the porta-johns and everything else where everyone was gathered right before they went up. Now, if you go visit that, you can be in the same place, right? We can all go visit, and we can stand the same thing. You can go to one of the national parks near here. You can go to Disney World, wherever it may be, for vacation, wherever you want to go. You can be standing in the same place, and you can be looking at the trash can and the porta-johns and all the stuff that people left over and the worn-out grass from the summer and just all the stuff. You're like, this is ugly. This is horrible. There is nothing in this for me. Or you can lift your eyes and see what everyone is there for. Or you can lift and turn and enjoy the blessings of wherever it is that you actually are. And the truth is, we get like that sometimes in our lives. We're here on this earth. We're in the middle of church. And to be honest, there's times where people's lives, we are messy. We are messy people. with emotions and things and problems and issues and health stuff, but also emotional things. And we're complicated people. And we can be in the midst of this and be like, man, church is just blah. You know, it's just stuff. All these people's junk is everywhere. Or we can turn our eyes to why we're really here. For the Lord. We can give thanks. Notice, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Notice here, thanksgiving takes three forms. Attitude. He says, enter his gates. That's how they come in. Come in with thanksgiving and praise. But thanksgiving is and praise is more than just our words. Notice, it doesn't even really list words here until the very end. It's our attitude. But it's also our spirit. He says, enter his courts with praise. Notice this, be thankful unto him. He doesn't say, pretend to be thankful. Say thankful things. He says, man, walk with God. And you will find yourself to be a thankful person. Be thankful. Be a spirit of praise. And then notice the last thing, calls us to action. And bless his name. Some people, sometimes, I think thankful thoughts. I say thankful things. In the right setting, in the right thing. No, are you a thankful person? Do you bless the name of the Lord with your life, with your words to those around you? I mentioned a moment ago, there are no private Christians. It brings us back to where we started, verse number 5. All right, this morning, are you worshiping the Lord? Are you knowing the Lord? Are you a thankful person? Because after 61 years of Landmark Baptist Church, this is not just what we're called to be as a title on the outside of our brick building. It's what we are to be as people. How can we be that? Notice the last verse that we started with, and so we won't go back over it much, but just as a reminder, the object and attitude of Psalm 100 is prompted by God himself. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth for all generations. Because if I have to worship, if I have to know and I have to be thankful all on my own, that's just a pretty miserable life. But if you will worship the Lord as you grow and walk and know him, as you will find his goodness, his mercy, notice it says he is good. There's no one that his goodness comes from. We don't make God good. He just is good. So we experience him. Don't judge God's goodness by other people in your life. I had to apologize to somebody not long ago who was hurt by a Christian. I've had to apologize to people on behalf of myself and say, look, don't let the actions of one of God's children reflect the character and nature of God. We're his people, but sometimes we don't live like we're his people. He is good. We don't make him so. He just is. His mercy is everlasting, is enduring. Notice his steadfast love. There is no one that God says no to. Aren't you glad? Of all the years in Landmark Baptist Church, there's people that have come and knelt at this platform that's here, that people have knelt here, they've gone in the side room. We had a young person at VBS this week that came and wanted to know how to trust God by faith, how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, and how to have salvation. There is no one that has come to him in faith and repentance in the 61 years of Landmark Baptist Church, and really in the history of eternity, but in the 61 years of Landmark Baptist Church, no one has come to Christ in faith and repentance, and he said no. His mercy is everlasting. It is not just, there is no one that his mercy is not for. Notice, his truth is to all generations. And here's what I kind of close with. There's no one that his goodness comes from. There's no one that his mercy says no to. And there is no one that his truth ends with. Isn't that good? And for your kids and their kids and the kids' ministry that's going over on in the other building, we teach the same book, the same Bible, and the same truths, and the same lesson. We may phrase it in a different way to them, but we teach the same truths because it's good for them what's good in here. His truth is for all generations. He turns no one away that comes to the cross. And so if that is the case, then we just keep coming. We just keep coming because he is good, because his mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth for all generations. I want you to look at the passage one last time and let's just close with thinking about it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. the sheep of his pasture. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. Why? For the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Would you bow your head for a moment with us today? We're not here because for 61 years, Landmark Baptist Church has been good. We're here because our God is good. You're not here this morning because Landmark Baptist Church is everlasting, but because his mercy is. We're not here this morning because what we say works or orders our own lives. We are here because of what God says. His truth endures for all generations. I just want to ask you this morning on behalf of the church, would you praise the Lord this morning? Would you express thanks for his work in your heart? Would you take to mind and to heart the challenge of Psalm 100 that we make our lives noise, make noise for Jesus, that we serve him with gladness, that we sing and come before him with praise? Maybe this morning you've been challenged and said, I haven't seen worship in my life because I haven't been seeking to know him in my life. And would you as a church this morning commit to be a Psalm 100 people? You say, Pastor, I want our church to be a Psalm 100 church. And so this morning, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me be a Psalm 100 person. I want to turn to the Lord, not be distracted by other things. If that's you this morning, you've been challenged, would you raise your hand with mine? That's what I want to be. I want to be a Psalm 100 church, a Psalm 100 people. Father, thank you for your mercy and grace. Would you help us now as your truth solidifies itself in our spirit and in our lives? May we order our lives and our habits, our structure and our discipline, not so that we get things, but because of who you are. And we praise you for 61 amazing years, thousands of lives that have been impacted, saved and changed by the gospel of Jesus. But Lord, we know that you are not done, because you are always good, because your mercy is everlasting, and your truth is for every generation. We praise you for that today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand if you would.